Springfield's Talk 104.1. I am Nick Reed. It is Thursday, which means it is time for Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. This one has a little bit of nostalgia to it. Of course, Dee Wampler, who used to be a regular on the show and left us way too soon, used to bet me, Michelle Obama, she's going to run. She is absolutely going to run. He swore it up and down. If only he were here to hear Joel Gilbert, our author of the week, Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story and plan for power. I appreciate you being with us this morning. And, you know, I think you do hear her name thrown around every so often. I don't know with what level of seriousness. There's just so much unknown right now. Will Biden run? Won't he run? The bench seems so thin. I suppose it seems to be any lack of sort of proactive feedback Michelle Obama gives when it comes to this particular issue. Why is it that you believe that Michelle Obama, she is going to be running in 2024?
Yeah, I think Michelle Obama is already running for president. She's been running for several years. If you look at her Twitter account, it's all politics all the time. She's actually imitating Barack Obama's formula to become president. Barack started off in politics with a voter registration organization in Chicago called Project Vote. Michelle started When We All Vote. She runs around the country giving these fiery speeches. Barack was the keynote speaker introducing John Kerry at the 2004 Democrat convention. Michelle was the keynote speaker, introduced Joe Biden. That's the spot they give to the person they think will be the nominee at the next convention. And lastly, Barack wrote his best-selling autobiography called Dreams from My Father that he based his candidacy on. Michelle wrote her autobiography called Becoming. So she's definitely the best-loved Democrat. She's the most popular woman in America. And you can just see her working and being political all the time. She gave a very political speech at the White House last week when their portraits were being unveiled. She took a swipe at Trump. She talked about our democracy. She gave her personal story, I'm Not Supposed to Be Here story, which I reveal in my film. It's both a film and a book, Michelle Obama 2024. You can see the book on Amazon.com and the movie is on SalemNow.com. And I show that her entire life history and story that she's been telling for 15 years is completely fictitious, and I reveal the real truth about her life story.
I think even, well, perhaps primarily her biggest fans could not tell you much about her at all. I imagine if you ask what is it that's so wonderful about her, they'll just, you know, say, oh, well, she's just so inspirational and so positive and so forth. But they, if you ask it, what has she done? What has she actually done, be it in her past or in the public eye? I suspect many of them would not know. And I do recall very early on, as some of us anyhow, years ago, were trying to learn what we could about these folks, and there was some sort of narrative that was delivered on Michelle Obama, and, you know, she worked, if I recall, it was supposed to be in the medical community and so forth, but if I remember, even much of that was theater. It wasn't even a real career path. Am I correct in that?
Well, I actually get into that in the film and the book quite a lot. I show that in her professional career in Chicago, Michelle's job was always working for white Democrat elites to take away homes and health care from black people. She was selling out the black community and getting paid very well for it. She was the assistant planning commissioner under Mayor Richard Daley, working also under Valerie Jarrett during the time of redevelopment. And that was the name they gave to knocking down the projects where black people lived at Cabrini Green. They knocked it down, and they gave away the land to the Democrat donor developers like Tony Rezko, who would then get this federal money to build single-family homes and give the money, part of the money, back to the politicians. And then so Michelle would tell these people, we're knocking down your homes, but it's going to be good for you. And, of course, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Then she was hired by the University of Chicago Medical Center to head up something called the Southside Health Collaborative. And what the problem they were having was too many black people were coming from the south side of Chicago into their emergency room and weren't properly insured. They couldn't pay. So Michelle's job was to put them in these vans and dump them at these crappy strip mall clinics where they didn't have good health care. So Michelle was paid very well by the white Democrat establishment to take health care away from black people to prevent them from having access to good health care. That's always been Michelle's professional career, to take away homes and health care from black people and tell them it's going to be better for you. She always knew what team she was on. That was the role she played. And now, as a politician, Michelle tries very hard to pretend to be one of these ordinary black folks she spent her life selling out and exploiting. I also go into her childhood, where she really ran away from the black community for education, for schooling, elementary school, public, you know, high school. She went to a magnet school an hour and a half from her home instead of going to the all-black high school one block from her house. But Michelle openly lies about this. She says in her book, Becoming, she says, I went to the neighborhood schools and my parents couldn't afford private schools. Well, her brother went to a private Catholic school an hour away, which was all white, and the Robinson family wasn't even Catholic. So you have a completely fictitious story Michelle is trying to base her candidacy on, and she's still pushing that story today.
When there is reflection on Barack Obama and what made him what he was, there was a lot of discussion about, you know, the absence of his father and his mother, and then, you know, influences as he was a young person on extremism, and that really helped mold and develop him even as a young person. Were there any of those strong influences, Michelle Obama's parents or otherwise, that set her on this path?
Yeah, Michelle became a very political person from a young age. Her father was a precinct captain, worked for the Democrat Party machine in Chicago. He had a patronage job at the water department, so he could just work on getting out the vote for the Democrats. She partially grew up in Jesse Jackson's house. She was best friends with his daughter, Santita. So she was always around politics and a very political person from a young age. She was the treasurer at her high school. And so that influenced her. And then her biggest political influence was probably Bernadine Dorn, one of the leaders of the Weather Underground and wife of Bill Ayers. Michelle worked with Bernadine Dorn for 3 years at the Sidley Austin Law Firm when she graduated from Harvard Law. And Bernadine Dorn always pushed this thing called the politics of fear, that we're all afraid of each other. So you have to kind of vote for Democrats to help us because we live in fear. So Michelle repeated that politics of fear nonsense word for word on the 2008 campaign trail, and she and Barack had dinner with Ayers and Dorn at their house weekly for years, and Obama, you know, launched his career in politics for state senate at the home of Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn. So they were definitely influenced. Michelle was influenced and radicalized, I believe, by a 1960s radical.
We are talking with Joel Gilbert, our author of the week, the book Michelle Obama 2024, Her Real Life Story and Plan for Power. One of the things that Michelle Obama had said at one point that it almost chilled me, because it was insight into what I see as a darkness. And she made the comment, when they go low, we go high. And the reason that I see that is sort of chilling darkness is because you have people in politics, and, you know, some of them, they wear their personality on their sleeve. They're gruff, they're rough. But when people are able to successfully portray themselves as virtuous while being the opposite, there's almost a level of evil there. And to that when they go low, we go high, was actually going low. And I always thought that that was almost chilling, the way, because I would hear people, and that became sort of a mantra of virtue amongst the left, that said we're better than the opposition because we are taking the high road. When, of course, it's like, you know, saying I'm going to be the bigger person. Well, when you exclaim it, you automatically aren't any longer. But she was able to pull off that sort of positioning, and that gave me sort of this sense that there's almost a darkness to her.
Well, that was a lot of misdirection. When Michelle, she gave speeches in 2016 savaging Donald Trump, you know, emotional, almost crying about how you can't elect this guy, and accusing him of all kinds of things. And then she'd say, well, when they go low, we go high, you know. So that was just misdirection. Yeah, she does have deep psychological issues, which I go into in the book and the film. About feeling she doesn't belong. Whenever she's in a situation, she feels like she doesn't belong there. She even talked about that openly on her book tour, something called imposter syndrome. Like you feel like you don't really belong where you are, the position you're in, and any minute it's going to end. I think she acquired it from being illegally enrolled at elementary school that her parents enrolled her in to get her away from the black schools. And she's always been in situations where she, you know, could get caught doing something she's not supposed to. At Princeton University, she had a work study credit that she was earning, but she was really just babysitting. So she's always in these situations where she really jobs are created for her that don't exist. So she's always trying to prove herself. She talks about wanting to show people that she belongs in any situation and is legitimately there. So she's always seeking higher and higher power, more higher office, hundreds of magazine covers, crazy amount of magazine covers, talk shows, sitcoms, nonstop trying to prove herself. Now Netflix and Spotify. So I think running for president is the ultimate goal of Michelle Obama, to prove that she deserves what she's getting.
So how is this going to play out? What does this look like? You know, there's speculation as to whether Biden will or won't run. Of course, they're sort of playing, we're going to. But then a lot of people assume after the midterms, there's a good chance that he either will be challenged out, forced out, whether it's behind the scenes or otherwise. How is this going to play to where Michelle Obama ends up running 2024?
Yeah, I think Biden doesn't want to be a lame duck. It's too early, so he has to say, well, yeah, I'm going to run again. But he has said in the past he's a transitional candidate. Any Democrat politician that they've asked in the past 6 months has said they won't support Biden or they don't expect him to run. So it's obvious he's just too old and too many issues. Of course, the Hunter Biden thing is looming over his head with all the big guy taking money from the Chinese. So there's no doubt that he's not running. If he did run, it really wouldn't matter because when Michelle Obama declares for president, I see it going down. Probably, usually people announce sometime after the midterms in January, February, March. You see a lot of announcements from people that need to raise money and get name recognition will announce for president. Michelle has universal name recognition. She'll have no problem raising money. So I see her waiting until late spring, early summer. She'll say something like, well, you know, I hate politics, but so many people have asked me about running for president, so I'm going to form a committee to help me decide what to do. It's all a ruse. She's been running. She is running for president right now. And I think when she does run, everyone else who's thinking about it will you know, not bother.
And finally, our author of the week, Joel Gilbert, on Michelle Obama 2024, her real life story and plan for power. A lot of Americans really genuinely are fearful at the point we are today, where they see the FBI is being weaponized. They see a president, even visually, just the anger, the clenched fist declaring that tens of millions of Americans are semi-fascist and a danger to our country. If Michelle Obama becomes president, do we continue on that path? Does it get, God forbid, worse?
Yeah, the same and worse. Michelle Obama has never had an original thought. She's never said anything original. She just repeats whatever the Democrat talking points are at the time. She runs around the country as we speak for her voter registration group, giving these speeches, hitting every Democrat talking point. So that's what you could expect from Michelle Obama, just to repeat the policies from her husband's administration, from the current far-left radical Democrats, and you'll see her, you know, pushing whatever's going on right now and pretending everything's okay.
Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone, Joel Gilbert, Michelle Obama, 2024, her real-life story and plan for power on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.